great to hear all the good music this morning and good news from his word. Last week I mentioned I had a seminary professor who asked our class to write down the names of five people who we had a hard time forgiving, and about half the class wrote their own name down in terms of someone that they had a hard time forgiving. The Christmas message is Christ comes and name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. But sometimes we think, boy, there's stuff in my life still weighing me down, and I have a hard time forgiving myself. And over the course of a couple of weeks in that class, people began to share things. I remember somebody shared that one of their parents died unexpectedly. They had not spoken to their parents for a number of weeks. All of a sudden, it was something that they felt horrible about for months, years, not a chance to talk that way. Burdened down by guilt and almost self-condemnation. Another shared that they had children who had grown up. They had not had a good relationship with their children, so their children didn't speak to them hardly at all. They wonder how to change that, weighed down again by what they were feeling inside and a sense of loss and almost a sense of blame for themselves. The Apostle Paul, or John, who was real close to Jesus, must have had that same kind of thought at one time or another in his life. Because the Bible tells us that when Jesus was arrested, right before he went to the cross, all the disciples ran away. In fact, the Bible uses the phrase, they all deserted him. They all deserted Christ. And so John, who was, of course, reconciled to the Lord, he's writing this letter to encourage Christians, and he uses this phrase. He says, we set our hearts at rest in God's presence whenever our hearts condemn us, because God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. John's saying, we know we follow Christ because he's changed our lives. He means everything to us, and we do follow him. But there, sometimes, John was saying, sometimes whenever our hearts condemn us, we get down on ourselves. We cut ourselves off from feeling accepted by God. Mostly, probably, because we've gotten that kind of message or signal from key other people in our lives who love us. They love us when we do well. When we don't do well, they don't express that love, and we get the message, God must, he must be like that also. And John's saying, the Lord's different. Whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. We set our hearts rest at rest in his presence. And I'm going to share this morning what that's like. Sometimes it's a feeling of shame, general shame we might have about ourselves that people feel from the time they're little sometimes, two or three. They make a mistake. They want to hide to us grown-ups. The Bible tells us when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they hid themselves. And that's what the word shame means, to hide or to cover yourself. If I were to go and commit a crime and I came out from the courtroom and the TV cameras would be on me, I'd probably, a lot of people do this, cover their face, cover their self with their coat, saying, I'm ashamed. That's a normal feeling of the human heart. Christian speaker Tony Campolo preached one time to a group of people. He said, boy, God accepts us, but the things we get down on our own selves about, he says, sometimes if you knew everything there was about me, you wouldn't even want me to preach to you this morning. He went on to say, and if I knew everything there was to know about you, I wouldn't want to come and talk. There's that sense of, where are we going to hide? Where is the safe place? Jesus was born to save us from our sin, from our shame, if we have that, from a sense of self-condemnation. He'll come and set us free. He sets our hearts at rest whenever our hearts condemn us. And having a sense of shame or guilt is much different, you know, than confessing your sin. Confessing your sin is a very positive thing. You go to God and you say, this is the wrong I have done. And we find Christ's embrace and gift of repentance in that. But when we condemn ourselves or get down on ourselves, we're just stuck on ourselves. We don't have the vision to see God and his clear move of changing our life for the better. So the message from the scripture from John here and from when Jesus came to be born, we don't have to hide from God. We don't have to hide from one another. Gulp. That's a big calling in our lives. What are some of the symptoms or signals that at times you might be weighed down with a heart that condemns yourself? What does that look like on a regular basis? First of all, it might come in the form of putting yourself down verbally or with your thought life. Putting yourself down. God loves you. You're made in His image. He would rather die than live without you. We have a tendency to put ourselves down. This morning, if I were to get up and say, I know a Christian who, he's a failure. He's a loser. He's not a very good Christian. You'd say, what? Don't talk like that about somebody else. But too often we accept it when we think like that or talk like that about ourselves. And the Holy Spirit says, no, we're loved by God. We're valuable to Him. He's there to lift us up. Larry Crabb, a Christian counselor, says this, there's no reasonable basis for shame in our lives because of Christ. We can really show the mess we are with God and share that appropriately with others. The Bible says, God did not send His Son to condemn you or the world, but to save you and the world through Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, God says a wonderful thing. He says, Jesus is not ashamed of you. Jesus is not ashamed to call you His brother or His sister. I have two dear brothers. I enjoy introducing them to people. This is my brother Bill. This is my brother Dan. And Jesus feels that same way about you as one of His children. He is glad to introduce you to the Father. He's glad to introduce you to other people. He is not ashamed of you. He sets you free from that feeling of getting down on yourself. And He'll lift you up and wash you clean. The second signal is a sense of general sense of inferiority. So, yeah, maybe other people are better than you. Inferiority is really a mask for guilt. Again, carrying around burdens God wants us to give to Him. You can ask yourself the question about feeling inferior. Who do you feel inferior to? And for what reason? Was it because of a message that people gave you? Sometimes gals, for example, feel naturally inferior to guys. Where they came up with that? And bad messages from the world or maybe from themselves. People feel inferior to others based on the kind of job they have or their position in life. I remember as a single person feeling sometimes, I wonder if I fit in with these married couples, you know. Most of us have been single most of our lives, or at least a third of our lives. No reason for that. Do you feel sometimes a little inferior to other people who've walked with Christ? A little longer than you, maybe know the Bible a little better. God's Word lets us know that each one of us really has had a dumpster load of sin that we put on Jesus on a regular basis. There's really no need to feel inferior, but rather grateful that He would work in our lives. God's Word makes it clear. There's no difference at all, Paul said. Paul thought about Jewish folks. They had the law. They had God's Word. Great heritage. He's speaking of a bunch of Gentile, clumsy believers. He said, there's no difference at all. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory and are justified freely by His grace. Could you see yourself free before God from the weight of a heart that condemns itself? God would bring it that way. Paul, he expressed things like this. He said, sometimes I'm the least of the apostles. Well, he was the last one picked anyway. And maybe you're the last one picked for certain things. He said, I feel I am the chief of sinners. So you had nothing on Paul. But Paul didn't get down on himself. He used his sense of need for God to have confidence in God. Well, I'm confident in what God can do through a broken vessel like him. And you could be that way. And the third signal you might feel your heart's condemned before the Lord is to say, you know, I feel I can live sin-free this side of heaven. Sometimes the church gives us that wrong message in our attempt to preach holiness. You might mistakenly give people the impression, but if you just walk with Jesus closely enough, you won't sin at all. You really won't find that in the New Testament. You'll find people who have problems, have sin, and know where to turn. And Jesus helps us know how to repent. Or else we'll just keep falling short of a standard God never had for us. The standard is Christ. And He comes to embrace and set free and empower each one of us. And not hold things over our own head that God does not hold. Tell you a story about two children visiting Grandma, Johnny and Sally. And Grandma has a duck, a pet duck. And Johnny has a slingshot. He can't resist using the slingshot and firing some rocks around. The duck's waddling out in the backyard, and it certainly is an easy target. Before he thinks what he's doing, zing, bang, hits the duck, and the duck dies. Sally sees this. Grandma sees this. Johnny doesn't know. And they get together, and Grandma says, "I need some help cleaning the dishes today." Sally says, "Johnny wants to do it. Remember the duck, Johnny. Remember the duck." Johnny says, "I'll do it." Cleans dishes 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. He can wash dishes till now, until he's grown up. It won't remove what he feels inside about himself. Finally says, "Grandma, I can't stand it. I killed the duck." And Grandma says, "I know, Johnny. I saw you do that. I love you. I've forgiven you already about what happened. And I was just seeing how long you'd let your sister hold that over your head, you know. And what are you holding over your own head? That God has said, I see that. I know that condition better than you. What happened? I know what happened. I know why it happened. I'm here to pick you up and change your life and welcome you." John, by the way, he ended that thought about our hearts condemning us. He says, whenever our hearts condemn us, God sets us at rest before Him because He knows everything. He saw from all eternity past us at our worst moment. And sometimes I do this. I don't know if you, this is a little different, but when you get down on yourself, or if others are doing so, or even evil itself, the devil himself coming and saying, "You're no good. How could God love you?" You know what the scripture says? You could say, "Hey, God knows I'm 10 times worse than I think I am. And He loves me anyway." Now, what is it? What is accusations going to say if you say that? Absolutely nothing. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who know Him, and are set free to follow Him. Once I was invited, and this is just, I say this out of thankfulness, not of anything. I was, a whole bunch of people, let's say, and I were invited to have a supper with a former president way back when Gerald Ford had just stopped being president. He was president for 2 years. And that was an enjoyable evening. And I was about as close to Gerald Ford as from this pulpit is to our church kitchen, way, way far away. But you like being in the same room anyway. And so you say, you know, share it in moments like this. I had But that was a blessing and an enjoyable time being with somebody. But when you think what the Lord invites us to in our daily lives, and especially at communion, not a good president of the United States, that's a blessing. But a King of Kings to pick you out this morning and say, "I would like to have a meal with you. Would you come and be..." We come in His invitation, and He welcomes us, and He wants us there. And He wants to keep changing our lives and holding us close. And if our hearts are rough this morning, we can confess sin, but we don't want to sit and condemn ourselves, because He sets our heart at rest in His presence. He is greater than our hearts. He knows everything. And He's glad to share the bread and the cup with you. He shared His life with you. he'll share a fellowship time with you this morning. Might we be set free to follow him and know his love so we could live in the new creation that he's made us to be. In his name we pray. You are invited to participate in the Lord's Supper this morning. Knowing Christ loves you, put your trust in him and not in yourself. And even as the bread is passed, you could talk to the Lord about any barriers you have put up between you and him, any sin that is there. You can know that he's put no barriers up on his end. He'd welcome whoever would be close to him and know his love and kindness this morning. Let's pray together as his people. Father, we ask that you would be yourself among us today as we would take the bread, remembering Jesus. You came as a baby, died on the cross as a man. Our greatest loved one has given his life for us. So we trust you and help us to walk forgiven before you, forgiving others, forgiving ourselves. And we're glad you know everything, Lord. You understand the service here better than we do ourselves. We could plan a service, but you have better plans than we've put together. Work in hearts, Lord, as we have communion with you. Be with people who hurt physically in and out of the hospital this week. We remember Eileen Wiltrick, John Kamaker, and Mr. Brentzel. Ask that your kindness would be with them. We remember Eileen Wiltrick, Father, in the loss of her niece, that you would comfort that family with your Holy Spirit and comfort us as we meet with you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.